Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Hi. It is I, Rob Spiewak. It is I, it is me. Well, we're here together, aren't we? The best of the Mike O'Mara Show, Bat Maz for Thursday, March 7th, 2024, episode 3230. So you can fill it out in your scorecard. We've got a great best of for you today. I know I say it every day, but it's true every day. Today we will have a classic audio vault. Before it was the flip side, before it was the digital dumpster, this be an audio vault. Also, one of my all-time favorite segments, Dude Walker in studio. He's the nicest man in the world, and he really brings it. He has so many great stories about radio and his past, and of course, you know, the voice. He is the voice. So stick around. Oscar and Flex Seal. Oh, this is funny to me. I was grinning ear to ear as we played this. Oscar loves his gadgets. But first, let us remember one of the great broadcasters of all time who recently passed. I would say recently. I think it was a couple years ago. But Regis Philbin. He brought so much material to our program and actually is woven throughout the tapestry of the history of this program, which Mike will explain. So we start with a little montage honoring the big man, Regis Philbin, and then we jump right in to Bat Maz. Oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you. ZVBXRPL. Write it down. Let's do it. It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Regis would love to take a seat in your box.
What, is that a euphemism for something? What are you talking about? What is going on at home? Exactly.
You've been to the Kennedy Center. They got these lovely boxes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And people like you each sit in their own box. Okay. I just want to be a part of your success.
I understand. I thought maybe that was code.
I'm sorry. Doc.
Yeah, I don't know either. Was it?
So you're really into bodybuilding, aren't you?
You're just trying to not die.
See, Gilman, we're working out while you're doing.
I'll try to take you through my workout any day. Any day, Reed. Come on down.
All right, don't take it seriously. I'm trying to get...
You'll crawl in here tomorrow.
Stop it.
Yeah. It's difficult.
Didn't you try my workout?
All right, Gilbert, right. No,
like,
no, no, no.
I'm back.
I can't walk. Go away.
That's the right order. Let's see who got it right. And in the fastest time, Ted Patchell.
Ted, how are you? Yeah. Congratulations.
That's
terrific, man. Let's go.
All right, let's go.
Ted Patchell, congratulations. We had five people from New Jersey in the fastest finger, and you're one of them from Somerdale, New Jersey. What do you do?
Computer catalog salesperson. I take orders over the phone.
What did you do last night, Ted?
Actually, I stayed in and watched ABC.
All right. Your partner, Thomas, is up there. Hi, Tom. Yes. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
Nice to see you. What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
All right, fine. All right, good.
All right.
Honest to God.
But don't. When are you planning on leaving? November or something?
Yeah. No, I tell you what. I'll leave. I'll walk down the street. Mm-hmm. I'll wait in the back for you. And then you leave. And then we get out on 53rd Street. Right. We walk to the sun. You know how the sun
walk
sets?
Walk into the sun.
Yeah. You and know, we sing. We got to sing. You know what? Sing with me again.
Okay, what are we going to sing?
Memories.
From the bottom corner of your mind. Bottom corner of your mind.
Misty watercolored
memories. Of the way we were.
Regis Philbin, I'll get into the whole troll while I was trolled, and somebody said, hey, okay. all you did was ridicule. It wasn't ridicule. It was an impression, and it was comedy. And we were giving him a hard time. We gave Kathy Lee a hard time. That's right. What we did. We gave people hard times. If you want to call what David Letterman did ridiculing Regis, David went out to dinner with Regis after every show that he was on. Regis Philbin was an American original, and yes, you can call it ridicule. I call it comedy. I call it fun, poking fun at Regis Philbin, which we did all the time. And it's funny that because my impression of Regis Philbin was so significant to what I did on the shows that I've been involved in that people thought of me occasionally when they heard about Regis's passing. And I think back on Regis fondly because it was satire that was so much fun, because Regis was so much fun to listen to. He was such an American original, and that's what you don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be super talented. You just have to bring something to the table, and that's what made Regis a television icon. And he was so impressionable to do an impression of. I mean,
about whether or not you ridicule him, I think
I got some of the Sudafed Oscar hat. I'm not sure.
Just said made sense, Mike.
It did.
All right, good.
I think of Regis. I think of you. I just do. I think of Regis. I think of Kelly Ripa. I think of Kathy Lee Gifford. I think of American television. Regis, in many ways, for me, was someone I grew up with. Even when I had to stay home from school and I was learning English, I'd see this man on television. I just didn't know who he was, right?
A workaholic. I mean, he was everywhere.
I believe
everywhere.
He held the record for the most hours of live television of any other person. And when you say about the ridicule, if you listen back to the tapes we just played to open the show with, he was the first to make fun of himself. And that's, I mean, you got to know that. He was in on the joke. He knew that he was a target, and I think he sort of enjoyed it. And when you talk about people associating Regis with you, the most horrifying thing happened this weekend when Regis's death was announced. I got a text, a condolence text, from Beth Ann McBride.
Yeah.
And she hates me. But she said,
my God,
when I heard about Regis, thought about the show even before I thought of Joy Philbin, and just sending my best thoughts your way. So Beth Ann was thinking of you as well. But
Ted mentioned it to me over the weekend as a condolences. It's funny because the impression was such a big part of what I did. It was one of the better ones I did.
When I'd have an opportunity to do Regis on the fly, and he's one of the ones that I can do as quickly as that, and call and
I think
I did him too much.
You predated Dana Carvey, I think, on actually doing Regis on the show, because when they were launching live, as you know, it started out as just a New York based show, and then when it rolled out national and they were really trying to promote it, you would occasionally have him on the show when you guys did mornings, because they were hungry for publicity. And then you'd occasionally get a mention, like he said, we talked to two DJs. And, you know, he would mention it in, like, the opening ramble. So you guys
this
were
interconnected.
This is why
I'm glad you're here, because you're the show historian, and you can offer maybe some clarity on one of the times we got in real big trouble. And that's
suits.
When we...
I remember being told that
the
we were
hotel
gonna get
in Los Angeles. Were you with us at that point?
What happened?
I called the hotel in Los Angeles, and this tells you my memory. It's squash.
Well, why don't you let Rob
My memory of it. That we called a hotel where we found out Regis was staying in L.A.
They were doing a week of remotes, I think. Because, they're New York-based. Okay. So in L.A.
We got a tip, and I called... we called the hotel, and I got the front desk and convinced the front desk that I was Regis Philbin, and they allowed me to get into the messages that were left for Regis.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that, and like all true spoiled brats, we had so much fun with it that day, we decided to come back and do it a second day.
Right.
And when we came back and did it the second day, I called the front desk of the hotel, and I said, "Hi, this is Regis Philbin. I just want to check my messages." And and they said, "Just a minute, Mr. Philbin. And where is the day before?" This is my memory of it. The day
so
before,
far, you're spot on. It's all of our check marks are matching, Mike.
The day before we've gotten into the messages, here are your unplayed messages. Hi, Regis. We're going to meet you at such and such a restaurant. We're just going, blah!
I'm dying.
Just the fact that we got into Regis. So the second day, it was a bit more of a delay. And suddenly, a person comes on the line and,
hello, who is this? I said, this is Regis Philbin. And on the other line, you hear, no, this is Regis Philbin.
And I don't know what happened after that, but we probably hung up. And we tried to keep him on a little bit, but it's all right. You know, you're. But what happened after that, if memory serves me, we got in big trouble.
Very big.
We got in really, I mean, like top of the company CEO trouble for doing what we
did. Like, I believe there was, if I recall, there was no show the next day kind of trouble.
Yeah, we got suspended.
Yeah, and then I remember being told by the producer at the time, she said, well, it was a good run. She really thought it was the end because it was.
Yeah, because he went to Mel Karmazon.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the way I understand.
Yeah, so it was
definite. He went to the top of the company. He knew, Mel Karmazon. And by also, that time, Regis was a player that time.
Yeah,
that
sure. Point.
Like Regis started out the sidekick for Joey Bishop. He's been in television, national television, for a good long time. But
Mike
made his bones doing the morning show up in New York, and then that became a national show.
I get it.
He was at the pinnacle. He was right at the crest.
And in today's media, you and Don would probably get, unfortunately, because I think this is hilarious, but you would probably get prosecuted one way or another. You hacked into someone's personal voicemail.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened, and I regret it. No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Was there anything funny in the messages? That would have been great.
Yeah, there was a funny. It's just somebody was going to meet him, and it was like Regis's show busy friends.
Yeah, and the thing about it, when you look back on
like,
it.
Hi, Regis. Hi. We're going to meet you.
The very fact that you got away with it once.
Is amazing.
But why would you think you're on a nationally syndicated radio show? How is it not going to get back to him somehow? In retrospect, I just can't believe, but God, I do remember now, holding my stomach laughing. It was great.
Now, another Regis moment. This is how important Regis Philbin was to my career.
Right.
The only time that I ever spoke to Donald Trump was because of Regis Philbin.
That's
we
right.
We called Trump Tower to speak to Donald Trump, and I think it might have come, I don't know where it came from, but I think it might have been my thought that, well, Regis could probably get through to Donald.
Right.
Because we were trying to get through to Donald Trump. And we called Trump Tower. We called the Trump building and the Trump Enterprises or whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And the Regis voice got me to the executive suite immediately.
Right away.
Got me to Donald Trump's personal secretary immediately. And had me put through to Donald Trump. And I remember it lasted a very short period of time because Donald, I'll give him credit, immediately, Mr. President,
yes.
recognized that it wasn't Regis Philbin and hung up on us. Don't you have anything better to do?
I believe what he said was, don't you have anything better to do? If you want to talk to me, go through the proper channels. Goodbye.
Yeah, it was, and he hung up. And yeah. It was Regis. And then the third wheel of this little Regis trifecta for me was when John Pop, producer of the G. Gordon Liddy show, asked me to call in and prank G. Gordon Liddy on his birthday. And hi, Gordon. Hi, Reg. And we have that on tape somewhere.
And I called
as Regis Philbin. The Regis Philbin impression was such a big deal.
I used it
for evil all over the place.
You can't be told you were using it for evil when you called Liddy because you were asked to do it. But afterwards, it was so badly handled because it was Liddy's birthday show, like his 120th birthday.
So they basically pranked him on the wrong day.
They pranked him on the wrong day, and then it made Liddy look simple because he was fooled, and he thought he had the pull to have Regis call in on his birthday, and then it was revealed that it wasn't him, and it was another grand moment in broadcast history.
But Regis, my memory of Regis was like a great DJ done well. He just brought a lot. He was quirky. He let it all hang out, and he let you know that he didn't know stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and he was a prima donna, and it was fun to watch him. And he just brought it. He brought it. He laid it all out there. And he's also a guy that late in his life, he got a lot of breaks, and he grabbed every one of them right before he retired. And it's a, you know, it's sad because I thought he'd be around for a little bit longer. But he was up there in his late 80s, so that he lived a good long life.
I always thought that the beginning of Live with Regis and Kathy Lee was sort of a very vague template for what would become Hot Talk Radio, because there had never been a show that started with a 25-minute unscripted, right, very loose opening ramble.
Super loose.
And that is something that you never saw, let alone on television, network television.
And it was
television.
Never the same after him. It
you're right.
Was never
you're
the same
exactly
after.
Right. But it kind of proved that sort of loose structure can work, and it allowed people to see that. So in that way, he really was an innovator, and he will be missed.
You know, Kelly and Kathy Lee. Kathy Lee was more really open to the world, I think, than Kelly Lee.
Yes.
Kelly Lee still has that. It always appears to me that she's extremely careful in what
structured,
she projects with the fam and all that. With Regis, it was so real.
It was
so real.
He's
like Notre Dame and all the things he loved.
Gelman, what were
buddies.
We talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember once with Kelly when he just said, "So your daughter broke a leg." And she's like, "Oh, well, we didn't want to talk about that."
Yeah, see?
Like, yeah. That's it.
That was the difference right there.
Was it a compound fracture?
Weren't you paying attention? Did you ignore her?
It was great. So that's Regis Philbin. And for those of you that enjoyed Regis as much as we did, look, when you're doing that kind of an impression of a guy, you're obsessed with the guy. And we were obsessed with Regis Philbin for quite some time. And he will be missed. I was extremely sad when I heard that news because of, you know, he helped my career. He did. Yep. He didn't even know he did. You know, it was fantastic, especially when we got through to that voicemail. I always
fantastic.
Remember that.
Yeah. Day two, man. Day two.
No, this is Regis Philbin.
No, this
and
is
you know,
Regis.
And Regis got off on being catching us with that. That was fun, too. Yeah, so that was cool. But,
Oscar, you ever feel the air totally sucked out of a room? When he said, "No, this is Regis," time stopped. Just so you know.
Yeah, we froze. We froze like the cowards that we really were. And boy, did we get in trouble. Yeah, we almost got fired.
I will keep this brief because if you're listening to me, if you're within the sound of my voice, you know this. Oscar loves gadgets. And Mike had some questions about Flex Seal. You've seen it. It's on the TV. It's tape. It's spray. It's Flex Seal on Batmos.
Just quick heads up. If you see me disappear like this, Mike, that I am still here, but I'm just dealing with the Comcast guy that might come in and try to take us off the air.
Okay. Yes. Doing some work in Washington, D.C.?
I just want to make sure that they don't do it till we're done with the show.
Is it related to the torrential thunderstorms yesterday? Because I know that the cable doesn't work good in D.C. when the roads are wet.
No, I actually fixed that. Remember, I got on the fire escape that's about to crumble and threw some Flex Seal tape right on there, so it shouldn't be getting wet anymore.
And, you know, I've actually visited with Oscar up on the roof before. I like when Oscar climbs. It's fun when Oscar, like, goes up on the roof. I remember the roof, you know, in the Podcast Village, the building is close to turn of the century, like 1911, I think. And I think it must have originally been a tarred roof, but it's flat.
There.
And up there, there's huge rubber linings that keep the building from leaking. And we went up there once, and there's like an inch and a half of standing water. 8, 9, 10-foot puddles. And Oscar's like, "Hey, come up here." Okay. And you climb the steps, and you go up there.
You went up to the roof?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You climbed?
Well, I mean, it's a staircase.
It's got a staircase. They have an access point.
Okay.
You can walk the stairs.
But still, it was, if you can imagine a 9-foot puddle that's about an inch and a half deep that's already on a heavy rubber mat, and Oscar says, "All we got to do is lift this. That's it." Well,
are you a Flex Seal guy, Oscar? Do you believe in the product?
Oh, Mike. Ask me how many times I've purchased the different iterations of Flex Seal, and I'll tell you.
I tried to use it. Can you tell me why? Okay, here's what I did.
Okay.
I got a dinghy with a hole in it, a hole right around the gasket. I sprayed the soapy water.
And you know how painful
water.
That can be.
Oh, yeah, my penis. It's a penis joke. No, it's like what you row out to your boat. It's a little inflatable raft,
I know.
Basically. So this inflatable raft, I've got the, I spray the soapy water, and I see the bubbles coming up right around where the gasket is to fill it with air.
Yes.
And so I fill it up, and I get I said, Flex Seal. I'll get that Flex Seal. So I spray it where the bubbles were. I wiped it down. Then I sprayed it with where the bubbles were. And I go out and I come back in about an hour. And it's still like gooey, nasty. How long does it take to
And the dinghy had dissolved.
The dinghy. It was like black paint. It was like black paint. What did I do wrong?
So there is... The Flex Seal,
the
Flex Seal family offers different types of solutions.
Get the can.
They have a paste that I think would probably be better for what you need.
Well, I
they
think have a that job that cries for the tape.
They have a
The tape is what's most impressive on the TV spot.
Okay, so I've used both the spray. Mike, the spray was the first to come out where you'd spray the Flex Seal and he made the bullet out of it, and then he'd be out there.
Sharks.
The spray worked for my neighbor's gutter when she had a rusted out gutter, and instead of replacing the whole thing, we got the same color Flex Seal and sprayed it, and then it like you said, the goo, it adds up, and you're like, okay, will that hold? And from reading the can, I remember saying that you needed at least 12 hours or 8 hours before it set. Yeah, but just before it set. I remember I had to look at the forecast and say,
never mind.
Hey, Mike, didn't you read the can? You got to read the can.
No, there, that can, the Flex Seal can. Well, I mean, it might as well be a novel.
So small.
Is it one of the things where I've gotten to a point now, like if I'm dealing with like serial numbers and stuff, I take a picture with my phone and then blow it up because I can't, not even with my readers, I can't even read it anymore.
My readers. It's like a 90-year-old man. My readers.
I have it here. To usually dry to touch, it's got to be 2 to 3 hours, and to fully cure, 24 hours.
There's Rob's readers.
My readers.
24 Rob, hours? Like I Ben want Franklin. Some water. I put the dinghy in the water, so I can't do that.
So 24 hours, and then the tape, I remember putting it on before a big storm and creating what was the seal that I needed for the...
Is the tape pliable? Will it mold?
It will. And so I use it for where the coaxial goes down into the building where I think the water was getting in down the downspout. Okay. So I just covered that whole area with the Flex Seal tape.
I'll pick up some tape today and I'll just take it out on the
tape. Not cheap.
Doesn't the tape sort of have almost like a foil feel? It's not like gaffer's tape. It has like a real thin feel, but it's super adhesive,
right? It does what it's supposed to do. And, Mike, if you remember...
It does what it's supposed to do.
I fixed my roof with Flex Seal, a temporary fix.
Call Flex Seal. You know they probably got their own in-house ad
people. Somebody,
let's get them on the air.
Come on.
And I'll take it to my dinghy. I will take the Flex Seal to my dinghy. We have to take a break.
The roofer saying, did you put Flex Seal on your roof? I said, yes, I did. It worked for about 3 months.
What did he say?
He said it worked. He goes, happy? You don't have enough Flex Seal for the entire roof. He goes, you have 3 other leaks. This is before they replaced it.
Hey, you did what you had to do,
I did
right?
what I had to do. Don't judge me.
Did you happen to tell that jerky roofer guy that you made, that the guy that invented Flex Seal made a boat out of it?
That's right. And sailed among sharks.
We'll take a break.
It is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show, Bot Moss, and what we got here, Dudio in studio. Mr. Dude Walker was in town for, I believe, a convention center gig where he described it as being the voice of God up in the sky. But he did come in and spend an episode with us. Dude Walker is so cool, so nice, so talented. As a matter of fact, he will always live on as the first person to... call me with condolences when we were fired from CBS. Now, the only strike against this segment is that Mike is not in studio for this one, but I feel that we must share it anyway because it is a great look behind the voice that sets up and pays off every episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Mr. Dude Walker in studio on the best of The Mike O'Mara Show.
Exciting day. Yeah. The man with the best attendance record. He has been on every episode of the podcast. I can't say that. You can't say that. Mike can't say that. But Dude Walker has been on every episode of The Mike O'Mara Show.
Every day.
And studio. This is really weird because he's been such a big presence on our show, Dude Walker, our announcer, but he has never been in studio with us. He's done stuff via ISDN. He's been at our live shows. He's been kind enough to announce for us at our live shows.
As a listener, when Don and Mike used to have you on, I remember working at WHFS and listening to your show, and they would cut liners with you. And we were talking about this yesterday on yesterday's program. Rob and I, where we sit there, like, And I remember looking at the guy to the right, me or the girl, and be like, you know, he's not with them right now.
Right,
he's
right.
just doing, they're like, there's something called ISDN that's yeah. connected. You got to talk to the engineers
and
about
the I
this.
Doesn't stand for EYE. There was no vision.
No.
I had to assume what, you know, because it was Don at the time, mostly leading it.
Right.
And I think that's why he kept me going, because he realized this is kind of cool. Yeah. He's a little monkey dancer here. He'll do what I want.
You're on demand.
Yeah. Well, and it was exactly was. Yeah.
And I would write the liners, and there would be rejoiners. That, you know, we'd come back from commercials, and he would say, da 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 da, it's the Don and Mike show.
Right, right.
And I would write them, and I'd send you like 60, 70 of them.
Oh, yeah.
And it always amazed me. You read everything.
Yeah, yeah. Some I did not get. A lot of your stuff, well, I haven't listened in the last 3 days, so you probably have yet another inside joke I don't know.
Oh, we do.
It's so
but the
hard.
The consummate professional.
You have to keep up with it. And they talked about the announcer before me.
Uh-huh.
He didn't know the show. He didn't get it.
Yeah, his name was Paul Turner.
Okay, I didn't want to throw him under the bus. But Paul,
no, that's okay.
That's what we do here
great,
still.
Oh, you still do that?
Yes. Very okay. busy man.
Mike's on vacation.
Proud,
he'll be back.
Proud podcast
someday.
Tradition. Throw him under the bus. So, I realized he didn't get it. And if you don't get it, here we go with the slug line of the slow show here. You just don't know how to emphasize things. And I kind of got it sort of a little. And when I didn't, it was even funnier.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
he doesn't know what he's saying, you know,
because you're delivering.
Yeah,
you're delivering.
Yeah, yeah. So
and,
great.
So that was cool. That was very cool.
Also fun to see. But for example, Pony Boy Matt Bloom, him connect with Dude and just look at each other like, oh, that's Pony Boy.
Yeah,
because you think because really the last time I remember you were kind enough, at least for me, you coming out to the State Theater.
Right.
And making the trek down and announcing us live on stage, which was a moment for
such
I think,
a thrill.
Anybody,
yeah, right? A thrill.
Yeah.
But also, from my end, we've done so much work together, dude, as far as the shows are concerned.
Yeah.
That Rob would always say, like, I have something from Dude. Or we'd always sit there and be like, we can't ask Dude to do that. or we'd chastise Rob for having him do a cake and cookies open.
I know. For example, I'll give a perfect example. When Mike requested some years back Yodeling Week.
Yes.
He wanted a yodeling record every day. Because that's what we do. You know, we keep the faith.
Okay.
And I said, okay, we'll do something. And I said, I'll get an open. He says, no, it's not worthy of a Dude open. It's just Yodeling Week. We don't need to borrow Dude for yodeling. And so, you know, we try not to trouble you with the minutiae.
And we should say this. I was thinking about this on my ride up. By the way, another ding for the Oscar Ubers to work detail.
Oh, good. We'll get to that.
Yeah,
I like
so
to hear that story.
I deserve this this bad review this time.
Oh,
but,
dear.
I was thinking about it, and I was telling my wife, I said, I have to go. I can't ride to work with you today because Dude's coming in, and I don't want to be late. And she said, what? I'm like, Dude Walker, we've talked about it last night. I said,
we've talked about this.
That's right.
Just like everything else. And look, this is Mike's place, and I'm not going to speak for him, but I would say that he would probably agree with me, and Rob would as well here, and I don't want to speak for him as well, but you can say your piece,
right,
Rob. The idea that we started this venture, the Mike O'Mara Show, in its current form, online and on KCJJ and a handful of other affiliates over the years, that would not have been the same without you.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
I agree.
That's very nice.
So I agree.
What a nice thing.
That's really, really, really.
That's good. Now let's just get back to the dirt.
Yeah, but I want to make sure.
But what about that jerk Paul Turner?
Exactly. Is this our
you're good to go.
Is the camera?
Yes.
Okay. I need to say hi to my eye, Mike. Hi, Mike. How are you? I'm sorry you're not here. I'm sorry you're not here. But
playing the camera.
You have no idea how well this is going without you. this little three-prong thing we got going here, it's, well, it doesn't look good for you. Let's put it that way.
Our magical talk triangle.
Yes.
Some changes are going to be made. And
you go, then I go, then you go.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yes, and?
So thank you. And I know that no one wants to hear that. They want to hear the conflict. They want to hear the drama.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the problem with Dude is he's nice.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, I've said this before, but I will say it again. It merits repeating.
when I was fired from CBS mm-hmm. and actually went to the trouble to going to lunch with the program director, who, by the way, I hired as an intern,
oh, right.
and then he got to fire
oh,
me.
That's
nice turn of events. Mm. And I said, "Is there anything I can do in the new form of WJFK?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, this was a good lunch." But I got home, and that very day, dude was the first person to call me and say, "Hey,
oh.
that sucks. If you ever need anything, let me know." And you've stuck to that, and I appreciate that very
much. Well, that's good. A lot of, I'll tell you, one of the reasons that I became so-called nice, I had to. Being a freelancer, I just had to be so pleasing to so many different people and worry about
many masters, yeah.
Yeah, and people say, "Oh, it must be fun to be a freelancer. You're not working for anybody." I say, "Are you kidding? I'm working for dozens and yeah. people every week." I really need to be a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I hate to say this, but if you've got one boss, and you can manipulate that, and you
sure.
can be jerky and still keep your job.
Yeah. But I think you're a genuine niceness.
I was at one time back when I was a DJ. I was, "Hey, I'm a top 40 jock, and I got it going on, and you need me because I bring in the money and all,
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of." That's not really the way I sounded, is it? Because you're going to play that.
Yeah, we'll visit of dude's past.
We'll visit some of the past. But so being a freelancer, you really are. You're a company of your own, and you need to understand that. That's part of your business.
That's great.
And
there are not a lot of nice people in the biz, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys for saying that. This is getting into
this. This is a hack question. I'll ask you this.
Sure.
And only you can do
let's
it.
Let's go from saccharine to hack. That's what we do.
Let's do that.
So I couldn't pretend to know how you do what you do for a living. We work with, I would say, in this incarnation of Podcast Village, a handful of talented voice actors and voiceover professionals that get it. It's hard to find someone that gets it. What I don't know is a professional with your caliber and your resume. Is it easier now to find out what a client wants when they don't know what they want? Because most of the time,
good question.
It's how many ways can you say something?
Well, it's amazing how far up the talent so-called ladder that goes. People who think they know what they want. And then you hear what that finally, or see what that finally was,
mm-hmm.
and you go, "You didn't know what you wanted, did you?" "Well, I'll know what I
when I
know
when
what
you
I,
hear it.
I know
when I hear it. Yeah.
Oh, good. So we'll do 7,000 versions here.
And so that still exists.
I didn't like the way you said .com.
I know. Oh, God. And it goes on and on. And that's, I guess, the most frustrating part of it all is that you're really trying to work. You want the job.
Yeah, you want to make it right.
You
yeah.
want the job for them. You want everybody to be happy. And then when you finally hear something I auditioned for, I audition 12 to 1, maybe even more than that, the things I get.
Mm-hmm.
Then you finally hear, you know, I'll be sitting there during the Super Bowl and hear a spot come on and a voiceover. And I go, "That's not what he told me to do."
Oh, so it's someone like, you got another guy.
Yeah, they got.
Oh, no.
Oh. You want to call him up. Hey, hold on.
This wasn't in the notes.
You said to hit the conjunctions, and he didn't hit a one of them. So, you know, you get that frustration with that is because they went in a different direction.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
always a fun thing. We're going in a different direction.
Oh, yeah, I bet you love hearing that.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the best, I guess this is dark. I like this.
Okay, dark.
What's the best way that you would rather someone tell you, "Look, you didn't get the gig"?
No, I don't know if there is a really best way to say there's a wrong way to say
what's
it.
What's the wrong way?
Yeah. Well, a wrong way to say it is to be the kind of director who thinks they can do it.
Okay.
You know, if I had a better voice, I could do this.
Yeah. People don't say that, do they?
Oh, yeah. Well, I they have that vibe.
Okay, they have. Okay.
They have that vibe. They may not say it, but you can tell. They go, "Do you mind? Excuse me. Do you mind? Do you mind?" And then they go, "In a world." You know, and I go, "Oh, God, it's going to be another one that wants that. It's Don LaFontaine. He's been dead for 10 years, and they want to sound like him. Can you do Morgan Freeman?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, my God, these people are so out of touch." They think they pick the 5 top voiceover people of all time
yeah.
and want somebody to sound like that for $200. And I go, "Well, this is not going to work."
Yeah, understand.
Now, you have,
that's fascinating.
I do love the fact that you do vary your styles and you have different reads for different things.
You really
things.
Have to, yeah.
I'm curious, have you ever been in the car listening to the radio or watching television, heard your voice pop up unexpectedly, and then have to realize, "Hey, that's me."
Yeah, yeah.
That happens?
It has. It has happened, especially if it's a couple of years old.
Right.
My brother called me from Denver Airport, and he goes, "I'm hearing you in the airport." And I said, "I've never done that."
you know, and then he held up his phone to the thing, and it was, ladies and gentlemen, whatever it was for baggage.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't memorize these.
Of course, you do, so many.
Like a TSA line.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, I did do that. Okay, I forgot about that.
Where's the check?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's been spent. But exactly.
How has the landscape for this type of work? Because as far as voiceover acting is concerned, for those of you not in the know, a lot has changed since really a lot of this work has gone online to bid out for the better and worse, depending on your clientele, your connections, how established you are.
It was not 10 years ago that you literally would have to mail tapes.
The big difference, of course, is online casting. And
Mike's gone through that.
I have an agent who harkens back to the old days of actually having people come right into the office and record an audition up in New York. And luckily for me, I don't have to do that.
Right.
I can record it at home and send it in. We send a little MP3 file to. And so there could be a couple of dozen auditions that go through the agent. But then there are also these online portals. There are three or four that are good, only one that I deal with. And you never know. It could be something great, or it could be, you know, another.
So that's a situation where you have sort of like a demo posted, and people just scroll through, and if they like your voice, then it goes to the next level.
It's not unlike a lot of things people are shopping for today online, except these are voices.
Mm-hmm.
And it works very well for both the client and the talent.
Right.
You're able to audition a lot. I like the fact that even if I'm not getting it, I'm reading things that are current and viable now. This is an interesting spot.
Oh, I never thought about that.
So that I'm constantly I'm rehearsing.
Yeah,
I may never get more
reps.
There can be a day will go by where I don't make a dollar, but I went out and practiced my swing all day.
Oh, wow.
So,
like doing a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never earning a dollar.
When are you going to get better?
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Sorry, Mike.
Womp womp.
Working on it.
Hey, listen, can we move sideways just a little bit?
Please.
Because the big story in radio and broadcasting in this city and five others?
Yeah.
Is this whole K-Love thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know for folks that are listening, watching that... This is a earthquake as far as radio
heritage
in New York City, WPLJ,
legendary,
right here in the district, WRQX, and then there's Atlanta, and I think Syracuse, a couple others,
and it's taking a brand new. It's actually like a network, a Christian network that is bringing the listener closer to Christ.
But there was a time when the Christian networks are very fringe; they just didn't have the money that were funded. And now it seems like this is a big company.
And thank you for highlighting that. I feel like when I was in radio, and mind you, a lot changed then as well.
Sure.
The tidal wave of recalibration for these stations in the last decade has been, I think, unprecedented. Whether you see the way that a lot of these radio stations terrestrial are, they're reorganizing because of bankruptcy to get lean and mean.
Yeah.
Or you see an acquisition from Spotify of Gimlet in New York for $230 million.
Right.
Just for a podcast company.
Exactly.
Mind you, top of their game for creation. Like they are the platinum
best.
Platinum status Gimlet creative in New York. It is mind-boggling to see how, and I always think there's going to be a place for radio, terrestrial, especially local radio.
Yeah.
But it's I would say in the last 15 years, you have like how radio has been homogenized and
homogenized.
Homogenized as well, dude.
We can edit that, can't we? That's where the funny is.
I can't believe he hasn't gotten better in 20 years.
Do the reps, Oscar.
So the reps. I'm practicing my swing, dude. My swing.
Okay.
But it has become, how do you service as many people as possible without letting them down? And it's difficult. It's
it really
almost
is.
Impossible.
Yep. It is. Yep. I think that the future.
KCJJ is what we always talk about, the gold standard for doing what they want to do.
That's the template for something that works. Now, this K-Love might work. Don't know, because we've never had a big flame-throwing Christian station in Washington, D.C., so it remains to be seen whether it works. However, I think if terrestrial radio is to survive, it has to go back to being local. There's been so much consolidation.
Very true.
And you know what? You can get music on Spotify all the time. You don't need a station for music.
Right.
What you need is someone that focuses on your environment and what's local. And that's
That's what radio can do.
It will go back that way. And luckily, it'll be less expensive than it was at the time. Back in the day, if you get a little local radio station, say a town of 10,000 people,
right. Mm-hmm.
you still had to put up the tower and the transmitter and all the infrastructure involved. That's a very expensive proposition.
Haunting,
now,
yeah.
a local radio station can be, well, frankly, this.
Yeah.
Or less.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine less than this.
But, I do every day.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what? I digress.
With, yes.
From the K-Love thing, there's some late-breaking news.
Oh, there is?
Dude, by the way, came prepared.
Yes, he did.
Well, I did some show prep here because I found out that they're going to bring back some of the old Q107 voices.
Really?
Oh, that's a good thing.
For WRQX, they're going to bring it. Because, by the way, is Jack Diamond going to be gone? I guess it's goodbye, Jack.
I suppose, unless he changes his show prep.
Well, I mean, that could happen here.
On the third day.
That's right.
So the man probably has a solid
They're
going to
bring back, believe me, I did this in the Uber on the way over here. They're going to bring back some names you may remember from Q107. Middays is Sandy Believer.
Dude, stink. I love this.
You've got Nighttimes with the flame-throwing St. Johnny.
St. Johnny.
Waha. Why did I say it like Johnny? St. Johnny. And of course, there will be the Rise and Shine morning show, or emphasis on rise. Rise and Shine morning show with Elliot and Wafer.
Okay, we're going to go out on that strong. When we come back, we'll talk more about WRQX.
Breaking news. We just found out, despite what you've read elsewhere or heard today, that he's retiring. It's not true. Sports on this station will be done by Joe Angel.
So he's back, go. Baby.
Okay, I'm out.
They strictly cover the Angels.
I'm out.
I'll nerd out just for a bit, but it's worth it. It's worth it, Oscar, I promise. This tape goes back to April 27th of 1979. Hey. When I first heard it pissed me off. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I said, not only does Dude Walker have the greatest voice in the world, he's a great disc jockey, too. Mm. Where does a guy like me even stand a chance?
Well, but, you're doing fine.
Well, I suppose, but it's not like this.
Fine.
I'm not going to give you more than fine.
Fine.
You're doing fine.
I'll take fine, I suppose. Yeah. Let's go back to 1979 and hear a man in his element. This is one of my first favorite radio stations and a man doing a great job.
Music Radio, Q107. This is Dude Walker. I just got off the phone with a guy from Arlington, Virginia, telling me about a spring fair that's happening tomorrow at Tuckahoe Elementary School. If you're near that in Arlington, Virginia tomorrow between 10 and 2, drop on by. There will be games and prizes and a cakewalk. Ha-ha. And Q107 on the PA. Q107 and Dude Walker, it's 8:11. I didn't get to see Eric Clapton last night in concert. But I understand he appeared backless.
Less immersion, more music. Q107.
Q107 smoking through a commercial-free hour with Dude Walker. This from 5 years ago. It's Grand Funk. Q107 with Dude Walker. Weather tonight, not that wonderful. Partly cloudy, low of about 54. Sunny tomorrow morning, then becoming cloudy by afternoon. High around 67. It'll clear up tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's low 45. Right now, cloudy and 65 degrees at the new Q107.
So great. And
that was so much fun.
Now,
you could tell like you loved what you did.
I did. It was within the format of having to play top 40 records.
Right.
Rock records. And having to put in a weather forecast and a public service announcement. I got to admit, I totally bullshit.
That's fine.
Well, okay. There's one.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
You get relaxed here. You forget where you are.
That's fine.
I'm sorry, KCJJ. I'm sorry.
Steve said worse this morning already.
He probably has. Oh, they're on again. You had to weave all those things together and make it sound like you came up with it. I didn't talk to a kid from Tuckahoe Elementary, but I threw it in there.
Yeah, you make it relatable.
But you knew it was on the community calendar, right?
Yeah, and that was the fun part about it is because you were able to go in there and say, well, I've got it. I've got to give a weather forecast. I've got, I can't just sound like the boring.
You have to entertain.
And that was the challenge to do that is to go through there and have all those elements that you needed to do.
What day part?
That was nights actually.
Is that before you did mornings?
That was before the morning show. That would have been this time of year. No, actually, it was April, so it would have been maybe May or June. What probably said it?
Yeah, it was. It's April of 79.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was very early on. Mm-hmm. Very on. That was nighttime. I was doing probably 7 midnight or something.
So the so I know nights more than any other day part just because we had to cut our teeth in by the time we got.
Right. And also nighttime is when he calls us and tells us to do stuff.
Yes.
Because Oscar doesn't wake up till 6 p.m.
I noticed.
Guys. I said to, I guess, the program director that it's probably hardest to do nights and overnights.
Yeah.
Because everybody's lived their days. And even though you would do a night shift for you baby DJs out there, you still have to live your day. And most of those guys have a day job at the radio station or mm-hmm. doing something yeah. else. Yeah. And then you have to go in there and get up yeah. for that shift.
Yeah. That helps. But being young certainly didn't hurt.
No,
in 1970, I don't know, I think how long that was. But, you get that youthful enthusiasm about everything.
I won't say 40 years. I won't say it.
Wow, that is great. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
40
what
years
were
ago.
Quaaludes
right
like?
Up, right up the street. right up the street. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I always hear about them. They sound like fun.
What was the number on the Quaalude? There was a number.
Oh, I don't know. I just like saying
it was 432-1073.
No. There was a number. There was a number on the pill. And I remember there was before Q107 came on yes. board, it was WRQX Album Rock.
Right.
And there was some DJ, a female DJ, and she would put that number out there all the time.
Oh, really?
Whatever that number was.
Oh, that's
was.
Funny.
714?
And she would throw in 714.
Was it 714?
She would throw in 714 all the time.
Oh, and that's so
and
funny.
Like, she's cruising for lewds here.
Yeah.
That is genius. Thank you for sharing that.
That is so funny.
I'm, and of course, now they do it with what's pot? What's 420?
420.
Yeah, 420. So it's the same deal, just a little bit.
I never knew 714 was.
Well, they stopped making them before you were born.
I would hope so.
I just like seeing movies and they're like, hey, David Lutz.
The thing I take away from that tape also is that is a true top 40 station, mm-hmm. something that almost doesn't exist anymore. But the variants of the music that we heard of it, we heard Eric Clapton, we heard Blondie, we heard Grand Funk.
Yeah.
And I mean, it had to be a much more exciting road to ride on because you never knew what was going to be on the charts at
that
time.
That's true, too. And also at that time, we had expanded so far out, we were playing Beatles records.
Right.
There might be an Elvis song in there somewhere.
That's crazy.
And there might be a kind of a country-leaning song in there, mm-hmm. whereas the formats hadn't splintered off quite yet.
Exactly.
So we were able to bring them all in, and now it's just, well, as you know, there's a Christian rock.
Yeah.
At that time, Christian rock was so small.
Yeah. Do you think the Christian rock station, K-Love, is going to give away $107?
They won't do it the same way.
They won't do it the same way.
They'll do it in their own special way.
The Sticker
way.
Patrol stopped my sister when I was a kid, and she was pretty. She came home, and she's like, I got $107. I'm like, by who? That was a lot of money back then.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think it was Q107 that had the promotion. You got a certain number of dollars for every one of your presets that was set to Q107. So if you got pulled over and all five of your ka-chunk presets were set to Q107, you get like $100, $20 per button. I think that was that.
That's pretty cool.
We had deals with the dealers of the cars when they were being sold to go in there and pre-programmed all the buttons to 107.
No kidding.
That's genius.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
A couple of the salespeople said, I'm going to, and of course, they get bonuses for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was wow.
That's it was funny. Creative selling back in the day. You know, you'd had to find a way, a little niche to get in there. And the wars between the radio stations.
I wanted to ask you about that because there was a time now when we went from a period, gosh, a few years ago in the 90s when there were, the 90s, we went 4 years without a top 40 station in this city. But then there was a time in the 70s when there was like five of them.
And five of the same format?
Yeah.
And pretty much so, yeah.
And they're all at each other's throats. So what do you remember about that?
Well, I miss it, but it was a little bit silly at times.
Of course.
The little tiny things that we do, but it was a wonderful time to be on radio and hearing them competing formats. Mm-hmm.
People better at it,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, well, definitely. At one time, I was on radio in Hartford, Connecticut. That's my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on nights at WPOP in Hartford. And the big station, the bigger station there was WDRC. Actually, Mike will remember that. That's the one he always does it. Big D in Hartford and,
mm-hmm.
and all that, Dick McDonough and all them. The guy that was on at night over there was Mike Holland.
Yeah.
And I was, at the time, I wasn't Dude Walker yet. I was Tom Collins.
Oh, classy.
Tom Collins.
Mm, boy.
And, well, I'm from Collinsville, Connecticut, so it all kind of came through here. And I got to know him after a while, even though we were so-called enemies at night. so we conspired to play the same songs at the same time.
Oh, that's great.
I said, on top of the hour, 9 o'clock, when, you know, when you roll, you know, light my fire, and then and you let's go right into da, da, da.
That's fine.
And so then when people pinch back and forth, they're going to be freaking out, man. And so, you know,
that
and we did that.
Awesome.
And I thought, no, that's so cool that we did that. And then, of course, we went our own ways. And, yeah. And he beat me in the ratings anyway. But
jerk.
Do you feel like there's, and we all, except for one person in this room, have a radio name.
Yeah.
What's in a radio name? What do you think is in a
you
radio
you want to hear the story of
yeah,
my radio
yes,
name?
I do. And I have a question to follow up on that, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Because it leads right into where we're going with
exactly.
The, yeah. The, yeah, the radio names were mostly a function of the program directors deciding that we all had to sound ethnically ambiguous.
Really?
Or at the very least, sound English.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Johnny Michaels or something. You couldn't mm-hmm. really have any name that was basically going to offend. We
right.
didn't want an Italian name. You didn't want... Every once in a while, someone would sneak in and have a different kind. But most of the time, some... staffs would have jingles in a cartridge, and that's your name when you show up.
Yeah, they did that at WPGC.
Wait, what do you mean?
That they would change your name to match the production they already had.
Yeah, they had a jingle that said Johnny Dark.
Yes,
and they go, "Hi, what's your name?" You know, Pete. Well, no, you're not. You're Johnny Dark.
Oh, because they already had the jingle.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Well, I'm going to spend another $100 on your stupid name. I got Johnny Dark.
It's so messed up.
And if you go through some of the records, WPGC has a really good archivist who goes through it,
right.
the history of it. And he's there's like five of them
that yeah.
went through there. And he'll say, you know, that was the third so-and-so. That you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, who could keep up?
I know. So great.
But that was so. Anyway, my name was Tom Collins. So I'm hired.
That's a cool name.
That's
Tom
a good
Collins
name.
Is
well,
a great name.
At that time, it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but it got a little dated. So I'm going. This is early 70s. I go down to Memphis, Tennessee. And the guy says, I think I'm going to change your name. So I'm thinking, oh. He says, what do you think about Dude Walker? And I'm like, what the heck kind of name is that? I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I can convince him just be Tom Walker or something.
Yeah.
So I get down there, and it's a Sunday night. I'm supposed to go on the air on Monday, and he's showing me around the station, and I'm in his office, and I'm about to breach the subject, or is it broach the subject? Whatever you do.
Yes.
We're going to talk about it.
See, that's the problem when I use big words. I use almost the right one.
So close.
Yeah. So it's the name change. And I'm about to say it, and he says, excuse me, man, I'm going to hit the restroom. I'll be right back. And I'm sitting here like we are now, and I can see papers on his desk, and I'm looking upside down, and I can see, please welcome to our staff, Dude Walker. I'm like, oh, man,
he's already
told the staff, this is not a good time to say to the boss, can you resend the memo out again? So that's it. That's how the name became.
Okay,
that was pretty cool.
And you know what? It's worked out so well.
Oh, it's a great name.
Everybody knows that name.
When we found out that you might have been 90% confirmed to come into the studio.
Right.
And organically, Rob and I just started like throwing out radio names overall, how our name became our name on the air. And
yeah.
Rob's like, well, my name's just Spiewak. It's show busy.
Yeah.
And because I'm cruel and I have no soul, I said...
And be fair, we were trying to kill time while you're waiting on hold to get those roses delivered.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
By the way, don't ever do that. If you use a credit card company to get roses, you'll pay triple.
Oh.
Did they make the 6 p.m. deadline?
Yes, they came in at 4.
Strong.
Yes. so you get when you delay. Dude, we sat here and I said, you know, my name's Santana, yada, yada, yada. That's not my real name.
Right.
But I couldn't imagine an announcer such as yourself ever saying my real last name on there. It just doesn't roll off your tongue. My nickname, Big O from Big O and Dukes, came from a program director. I didn't even know. I thought he was talking about Big Orgasm. I was like, this is a little creepy. No, it was because.
Wasn't he though?
No. Oscar Robertson.
Has he called?
No, it was more.
But he got flowers from him at 4 o'clock yesterday.
It was better than Milk. That's all I cared about. Because one guy, he was Pacey White. His nickname was Milk. Everyone would call him Milk around the station. He never, like, it was DJ Milk on the air. It was
really 90s DJ name.
Yeah.
That's a sick name, isn't it? DJ Milk.
To put the name DJ in front of anything.
Yeah. So, but my real last name is Ceballos, which does, I mean, talk about ethnic, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have made it in your day. But, like, you got to change
but
that, man.
Now, I think it comes around again. I think it would be good.
Our agent at the time, when we moved out, Chad and I's, Robert Eatman, he said, we're moving to Phoenix, Arizona. We got to take advantage of the Latin explosion. Ceballos doesn't sound Latin enough. Full circle. Moved it to Santana.
So he doubled down.
Yeah, it's doubled down.
Okay.
So times change. Rob, he was fortunate enough. He's been Rob Spiewak his entire career.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he just had a showbizzy name.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's showbizzy. It just has. I think it is just. It has a tone to it.
I think it's showbizzy.
Really?
I mean, for me. But also, I've only known you on the radio.
Oddly enough,
right?
The two B's part almost has gotten to me. If you were just Rob with one B,
yes.
There's just something not you. If you say it with one B, it's like, well, who is this Rob? Oh, you mean Rob?
Oh God, could you just say that over and over again? But yeah, I this was long before I ever had a thought of going into radio. But that's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
Yeah, I was Tom Collins in high school. I'll tell
you. Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the name I chose for it.
Wow.
Oh, so I didn't know it went that far back.
I wasn't a DJ yet, but I got the name.
It's, oh, okay. Oh,
I remember
cool.
When we were 13 or 14, we were going to put together a band. You know, so we would, oh, yeah, let's get together a band.
Right.
Okay, what am I doing? Well, let's name the band, you know. So we're the Stingrays because it's the coolest name in
great
the world.
Great name.
Stingray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, can anybody play? No.
But you got the name.
Well, we got the name. So basically, that's what it was with me. I'm Tom Collins, a DJ. Well, you can get records, you got a radio station, right? No. But. Okay.
But you knew.
But I knew. Well,
that's so
going
great.
In. Wow. I got to have a name.
So what makes a great name?
I think some with a too many syllables is a problem. That's
right.
Why a lot of people were Johnny Dark, you know, maybe three syllables at the most, you know, with Dude Walker. There you go.
I thought it was always for two first names.
Yeah. Yeah. They do that too. But that was more to not offend again.
Paul David.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, but that's so non-committal.
There's nothing to it. Yeah, it's got to have a little bit of... You know what? It's nice, and Dude's name is great because Walker is a common name, but Dude has something to it. Mm. Dude is a little off... You know, you don't run into a lot of people named Dude. A name from the past on WAVA that I like, Flash Phillips.
Yeah.
I like... But again, you got soft sounds there, but it's a catchy name.
Would Flash Phillips work in today's market,
No, no, because Flash Phillips was fired after he was on Unsolved Mysteries.
But that's an alliterative name.
That is true, and that's good, too, though.
What about...
Those are fine.
Matty Masiello.
Maddie Messi? No.
Sorry, buddy.
It'll work in Italy.
No. No. I love Maddie. I think Maddie's a wonderful name. But no.
Masiello. Now, what about Matthew Bloom?
Matthew Bloom. See, now I would wonder, how is the Bloom spelled? Is it O-O-M or is it U-M or U-M-E?
Oh, U-H-M. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's too. Yeah, there you go. I think in sometimes letters, and if I'm hearing somebody's name, I'm going, okay, which one is he here? Is he?
Should stick with Pony Boy.
Well, there's only one way to spell that.
That's true.
Or maybe P O N I.
What about?
Oh, that's if he was a girl.
Well, that could be.
What about Charlie Burney?
Charlie Burney, no.
Oh no!
No. You see, you're having too much fun with it, Charlie Burney.
That's great. He's right behind you too.
That was mean.
No,
you knew he was standing there.
Deliberately embarrassed me in front of a reporter.
You know, we have an intern downstairs. He's working on another project. He's super geeked out. You're here, but his name is Ethan Sands.
Okay, but that doesn't sound like a DJ.
No.
It's like a reporter, Ethan Sands.
Yeah, or a designer.
An on-air name, right?
Yeah, Ethan Sands, a great reporter name.
Okay. I like Sands. Sands is good. Tommy Sands.
Yeah, Tommy Sands.
Very talented.
Annette Funicello, NBC News. No, I don't. There's certain names that don't come up.
Do you think names still get changed as much as they used to? I would say in the past 20 years as they did before?
No, all you have to do is look at the nightly news or any of the cable air. The names are just the names, and some of them are difficult.
Yeah.
You go, whoa, what's that name?
Do you think it's because they start branding themselves so early in their career that they latch onto their real name and stick with it?
The social and everything
else. I just
don't
think it is important as it once was. Mm-hmm. There was a time when it was very important to make sure. Back in the old movie days, they would change everybody's
name. Of course,
You could not have an ethnic name.
Right.
And what was Cary Grant's real name?
Archibald Leach.
Archibald Leach, which came up, of course, in Fish Named Wanda.
And Judy Garland was Frances Gumm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they changed all the names they built them.
And it was all about marketing. We've got going to change everything about you, your look, your sound, and your name.
When we go back to the name change, I just want to ask this briefly because I would not be doing myself a disservice if I didn't. The man who changed your name, was it George Klein?
No, actually, it was not George Klein. It was the guy who was before him.
So let me just, as a backup, and I'll let him tell the story.
No,
of course.
No, this is fascinating.
Yeah. When Dude worked in Memphis, he worked at one of the most legendary stations in America, WHBQ 56 AM. Legendary because it was the first radio station to play Elvis Presley.
Right.
And working there was, through actually at that time, up until many, many years later, is a guy named George Klein. He would eventually be the program director. Yeah,
yeah he did.
But
yeah.
He was also a very good friend of Elvis and hung out with Elvis. Elvis was best man at his wedding. And I found out this week when George Klein passed away, mm-hmm. that dude worked alongside George Klein. And I just want to know if you had any memories of working with that man.
I definitely did. Well, going from Hartford to Memphis, as you know, I got the name change and all. I went there because of a couple of reasons, and one of them was George Klein's name. I had heard his name, and I'd actually heard some recordings of his show. And he was George Klein. He was maybe 15 years older than me, maybe even older than that. And, well, he was Elvis's age.
And a legendary puker. So,
yeah, and, well, it was back in those days.
Yeah.
And it was George Klein, and it was GK, and it's cheekier in your speaker. Everything was rhyming, and the music, of course, he was playing was not even Beatles yet. Mm. It was all that older stuff.
Right.
But he was still well-respected in the business, and I knew he was Elvis's friend from high school. And there was an opportunity to either go to Nashville to WMAK and work with Scott Shannon.
Oh, and his God, he would have you a kid then.
He wanted to hire me to go to Nashville,
wow.
And J.J. Jordan wanted me to go to Memphis, and I chose Memphis.
That's so cool.
It was just, I said, no, this is where I want to go. I want to go down there, and it was a great choice because it was a lovely city.
Dude, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this next question. Have you ever been voice tracking and come out of an up-tempo song into a dead dog letter?
It's Don on the phone.
Okay. But I invite people to look if you on I think it's on your Dude Walker page, a great picture of you and George Klein and Al Green when he was breaking his first record,
yeah,
right?
Al Green
and you weighed 20 pounds.
I know. Al Green was this. I think Tired of Being Alone had climbed his way up. He's wearing that white suit, mm-hmm. and I didn't know much about him. But he stopped by. That was another thing that was great about Memphis. That music really mattered down there then, and it had its own style of music. And you could run into people that were in the music industry at lunch. I mean, you go down there and there would be Steve Cropper. There'd be somebody played with Booker T and the MGs or something.
Yeah, he's in the Blues Brothers. Yeah.
And all these fantastic musicians and artists. And of course, country was big too,
right.
Down there. Not as big as in Nashville. But what a wonderful city.
Great food, friendly people.
Oh,
love it.
The barbecue was incredible.
Hi, this is Mike O'Mara giving you these little blurbs. So Rob has to work just a little bit harder. I hope you're enjoying Rob Spiewak at Oscar Santana. Don't slip me off.
He was feeling silly that day.
Well done, Mike. Yeah. Well done.
So
let's not do that next time. It's really awkward.
No, I don't think it's nice. And we close out today the way we close out just about every show, an audio vault. Now, this is technically an audio vault because of its age. It's from a few years ago. So many great things here. I think you're really going to enjoy it. We have Bugs Bunny. We have Richard Nixon. Two great dates that taste great together. Also, Dr. Fauci and sex dolls and just good, clean American fun. Before we get out of here, remember, we'll be back tomorrow with one more Best Of, and then on Monday, we are back live in studio. ZVBXRPL. Time to write it down, folks. And let's wind it up. It's the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
And now back to I'm Dickens, he's Fenster, already in progress. Oh, your brain. Let's open up the audio vault and take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Mike, the movie is called Greyhound, and it's on Apple TV, ooh. And it's the Tom Hanks movie about the submarine, and it's not doing very well. Oh, I'm sorry, you want to jump in? Go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So my Vizio television.
Yes.
My Vizio apparently has a war with Apple. I guess that's the way to go.
I looked it up as well. You're not going to get the... You have to have an actual hardware Apple TV in order for it to work the way you want it.
First looks like problems. I won't be watching it.
Not a big
well,
deal.
Looks like I won't be watching yeah, the morning show.
All right, well, Mike, it looks like the movie's not doing that good because Tom Hanks has done another one of his good guy things to get him in the news.
I saw this and somebody hipped you to it, right?
Of course. And he revealed that his first job was selling hot dogs for the Oakland Athletics in the stadium, which I may or may not believe. So he has recorded virtual dialogue of him selling hot dogs to play during the virtual Oakland Athletics broadcast. Why? So you watch the submarine movie. I can't even make the connection on this one.
So basically, you hear Woody selling hot dogs.
Here's what it sounds like when you're watching the A's game.
Hot dog! Colossal hot dog!
They mix this in with the crowd noise.
Colossal hot dog! Not a ball game without a hot dog. Who wants a hot dog? Hot dog here, hot dog. Colossal hot dog. Colossal dogs, hot dog.
And remember, Greyhound, available on Apple TV.
He was pissed that Greyhound was, with the pandemic, wouldn't be coming out in theaters. And the movie getting sort of so-so reviews.
I think moderate reviews.
Just moderate reviews.
It's as good as an Oakland Athletics hot dog. That's what they're saying.
The worst.
Do you have your decorations up, Mike? Today is July 27th. It's Bagpipe Appreciation Day.
Yes! I love them.
And I know you guys love bagpipes, so I couldn't let it go.
Well, why do you need decorations? Because
I just thought it was a big day for you. Bagpipe Appreciation Day. Put up your bagpipe tree, light all your bagpipe candles. I don't know. Now
I understand it. I thought, did you have at one point bagpipes that were played badly? I seem to remember you had bagpipes.
Let me do a dive and find it for tomorrow. It was something, I think it was like bagpipes that were run by a machine or I'll have to find.
If you did a YouTube search, probably get bagpipes played badly.
I don't mind when the bagpipes are really in hot rock and rock, like in the middle of that. But when the bagpipes start and when the bagpipes end, that's what's funny.
You played one about, for a time there, people were playing their instruments in public just so people would listen.
There was one of that. And I remember a guy playing bagpipes while he bungee jumped. That might be the one that I'm thinking of right now.
I never request a theme audio vault.
You want a bagpipe audio vault?
Yes! I request a theme sometime in the next week or two, a theme audio vault of bad musicians, of instruments being played badly.
Instruments I've got some good ones. I've got some good ones. That's a great request. I think that
was like side by side.
That would be funny. I'd like that.
That'd be funny.
I'd watch that. I'd watch a video of that. That'd be great.
Happy 80th birthday today to someone. I did this for your son, Mike. Make sure he hears this segment. Happy 80th birthday to Bugs Bunny. Aww. Bugs Bunny debuted 80 years ago today.
What's up, Doc? It's a wabbit down here, and I'm trying to catch him.
What do you mean?
Summer fun.
Wabbit. Yes. Wabbits. You know, with big, long ears.
Oh, like these?
Yeah, and a winter white fluffy tail.
Like this?
Yep. And he hops around and around.
Oh, like this?
Pardon me, but you know, you look just like a wabbit.
Listen, Doc. Now, don't spread this around. Confidentially, I am a wabbit!
That's right.
I cannot tell you.
A cartoon called A Wild Hair that debuted 80 years ago today.
How gratifying it is that of all the stuff, all the crap that's out there, my son's two favorite cartoons are Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes. And we can sit there and watch Looney Tunes and laugh out loud together. I'm blown away by that. That has to tell you how the level of quality they put out with the voice and everything. Oh, my God. Fantastic.
I think it has to do with the fact that at Warner Brothers in the 40s, that animation studio was sort of a standalone unit. And there was a lot of talented people trying to make each other laugh. And that's why they weren't catering to anybody except themselves, and they are very timeless. Now, speaking of animation, this is so dark and weird. Deepfake, when you see deepfake stuff on YouTube, it always flips me out a little bit because it's a little too real. The nerds at MIT did a deepfake of President Nixon. Now, we've talked about in the past that in the National Archives, there was a speech written for if the Apollo 11 astronauts passed on the trip to the moon. They were prepared for this consequence. And that speech exists, and we've actually discussed it on this show. They did a deep fake where they took a video of Richard Nixon. They got a voiceover artist to read the speech and did what it would have looked like if he had addressed the nation if the astronauts had died when the moon landing happened.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. Every human being who looks up at the moon in the nights to come will know that there is some corner of another world that is forever mankind.
It's just so weird to look at it's because
it looks
such a
spectacular Nixon.
Mike, you must watch it, though. Mm-hmm. I know the, I wouldn't have pulled the audio if it wasn't good, but when you see it, and they've actually matched it to that late 60s grainy videotape look, it is
cool.
Really very weird.
Creepy.
But bless their hearts, that's what the nerds at MIT are doing. And, TikTok is not just dancers, Oscar.
What?
Apparently, one of the biggest guys that's trending on TikTok right now is named Jacob Pena. Because his thumbs are 6 inches long.
1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war. Never lost a thumb war. Yes, it's real, but the thing is, I have to, like, dislocate it and extend it for it to look long. Does anybody you know have a 6-inch thumb?
So if you say Americans are craving entertainment, I say it's out there. You just got to find it. Now, if I could, I'd love to see Richard Nixon talk about his thumbs.
Man, that guy and that guy's feeling really, really good. I heard he was in the pink.
Mike, I love when powerful people act like toddlers. And I had to actually print out the setup for this. This happened in Congress yesterday. Former Deputy Attorney General Donald Ayer, A-Y-E-R, testified in Congress yesterday, and he was criticizing Attorney General William Barr. His opening statement went really long. So House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler let him keep going, which angered Republican Congressman Louis Gohmert, who started feverishly tapping his ring just to be a problem. So here is on the congressional floor yesterday. Listen to this exchange.
Is it on the floor or is it in a committee room? It's probably a committee hearing.
Probably a committee hearing. They were vague here, but listen to him tapping his ring. He's a toddler.
But to me, Barr's crowning dishonesty is the portrait of Edward Levy that a recent New York Times article showed hanging on the wall of his conference room.
Regular order. The witness will conclude.
Regular order is right.
We're way beyond regular order.
What?
The witness will continue.
Can I have one more sentence here?
By all means.
Okay.
That the sergeant at arms witness be called upon to stop the disruption of this meeting.
Yeah, well, he's way beyond
the chair.
And if there are no rules about when people can talk, there's no rules about when you can make noise.
You guys voted for that. So congratulations.
Unbelievable. Wow.
You know,
I don't think we
have to do our jobs. Like, everyone's accountable.
Yeah.
Like, how are these people not held accountable?
I don't know. I think that he shouldn't be allowed to wear jewelry.
By the way, who still wears their class ring?
Yeah. That's
like,
right.
Come on.
Only when VCU makes it to the Elite Eight. That's when I get it out.
Yep. Whip it out, baby.
Whip it out. You mentioned Dr. Fauci's first pitch a little to the left.
So sad. It wasn't. I didn't care. He was out there doing it.
Yeah,
and
but
somebody
this is what sucks. He's got, like, he had the mechanics 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, he had it, right? So,
yes.
And even, look, you've seen Baba Booey, 50 Cent. You've had Carly Rae Jepsen when she was some, like, just, there's people whiff.
Yeah, right. All the time.
What is tough about seeing that happen is because you're rooting for this doctor that will go down as a great American hero.
Literally an international hero. You want him to do well.
It just feels like this should have been pre-taped. No one would have known.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it could
August
have been done.
15th, Trump at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's coming up. And the only thing that's not going to make that fun is no crowd.
That's right. That's right.
Know,
so yeah, here's
it would be really exciting.
Like the World Series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's how the announcers handle Doc. This is, you don't actually hear cheering or anything because the park's
nobody's
empty.
Yeah,
so this is the announcers reacting to the what some people are calling a wild pitch.
Now Dr. Anthony Fauci now, not in front of a large crowd, but certainly in front of a national television audience.
I would have thought, given just how big a fan he is of baseball, that that would have been something. But look, the man has been so busy, that is not something he probably has had time to practice.
I'm speechless, Carl. I'm speechless.
So he bounced it through a little wide.
You know what I'm saying? He hasn't had time to practice.
That's funny. That's funny.
Also, last night in Washington, D.C., the first home run of the year was hit by New York Yankee Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees handily beat
Giancarlo,
and he hit a home run way up.
So Judge off second with two out, and it'll be a 1-1 to Stanton. And the pitch is swung on and hit high in the air to left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Away back in the left center field seats.
Who's the play-by-play? Is that a radio play-by-play guy?
It's a New York radio, yeah.
Giancarlo. No si può stopparlo. Oh, what a shot by Stanton. It's a two-run dinger, and the Yankees immediately take a 2-0 lead.
What I love about
like
it.
He's drinking bourbon.
Yeah.
Like, he might be.
Giancarlo, se puede vaswallo.
They brought up an interesting point on the ESPN broadcast, is that there's no fan up there to get the ball. They got to send like a stadium employee to go clean up the home runs.
It's weird. Did you look in a little?
As you know, Mike, I don't have ESPN.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of that. Yep.
I watched. It was cool to see happen. It was depressing.
Sorry.
I'm happy. It was one of these things where like, yeah, damn it. I thought this would be cooler. I also know that it's probably going to be better when Fox has like the digital crowd built in. I like
they're
going to
CGI
happens.
Cars. Yeah.
And then if the Nationals had a better layout of like even the cardboard cutouts, that would have been fun all over the stadium.
Like the Natural, like a scene from
like
the Natural.
Something like
that. Hey,
why
can't we get the crowd from the Natural and put them in with CGI? And like in the seventh inning, Glenn Close stands
up. I'm spoiled because Mike, when you watch the NBA launch here at the end of the month, you're gonna see what I mean when Disney World made it look like a completely different game where you're in the future. It looks
just
beautiful.
Got an idea. Got a great idea. How much does it cost to get cardboard cutouts?
Oh, we can't. They have all of the. It costs $300, and you can't put a logo on it. You can't put anything. I can put your likeness, but I can't put a logo or website
but
or anything on it.
Could I get like a picture without a logo? Could we? I'm not talking about cardboard cutouts of us.
Okay.
I'm not talking about having them done for the show.
Uh-huh.
Did you see corporate? I'm going to tell my family. I work this time of morning. Jesus Christ.
We didn't hear
Please
it. We didn't hear anything.
Respect that.
Please.
God almighty. I'm sorry you want to power wash your dad. Me.
You break it. Mike, yell, you break it, you buy it.
Right.
No, I'm talking about what would be funny if we could get discarded ones for cheap. And just every periodically, we have like a cardboard cutout during the show, like in Back of Mirror and Back
genius.
Of Robber and
that
Back of
Genius. Oh, yes. That is genius. That is genius.
And we stockpile them. And then the more we get, the more people we can put in back of
I love it. I love it.
We
I,
could
I
build
like
it up.
That.
It would eventually look like the cover of Sgt. Pepper's. It would be us and a million people all
right.
together. It'd be great. Realistic sex dolls, sales are through the roof. The biggest market for realistic sex dolls during the pandemic is Germany. And this is a man who was interviewed. This is actually a British guy. They electronically altered his voice, but he's very, very happy that he has his special friends.
Right now, I have five lovely ladies. But now with the pandemic, living on your own, one of the biggest things is loneliness. Sometimes you just want a hand to hold. Dressing them, undressing them, and taking photos of them. It's quite amazing how much they can lift one's mood. Without the dolls, I don't think I would be able to get through the pandemic. I think I would get cranky and unhappy if I didn't have these dolls to keep me occupied.
Mike, this just handed me. His voice was not electronically altered. The fourth doll is filled with helium. Okay, I have been a fan of the Muppets since the Muppets began. I was a Sesame Street baby. I love all their product, love the Muppet Show, love their movies. But I'm troubled because they dropped a trailer on Disney Plus for a new Muppet Show called Muppets Now,
And it looks like a good idea because they're going to bring stars in and they're going to actually do improv. It's the first unscripted Muppets venture.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of a neat idea. But Mike, you're going to have the same problem I think I did. Kermit's voice is wrong now.
Oh, no, that's not a hard voice to do.
I know. Listen to the. I mean,
it's not easy being green.
They've had a couple since Jim Henson passed, but this doesn't sound right to me.
A Disney Plus announcement with Kermit the Frog and Joe from Legal. Wait, what? The Muppets are creating an incredible new show for
Disney Plus.
He's not
working it.
Hi.
Right? It's
He's
lazy.
He's doing Kermit lazy.
Oh, wait. Is it Kermit from home because of COVID-19? Is he just like talking into like his USB mic?
He has it right there for a second, and then he has it for a second, and then he flies out of it.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's not right.
Be wild and funny, and it's going to feature some new friends like
no details about celebrity guests.
I was just going to show everyone.
Whoa, over my dead legal briefs.
It's a bunch of radio voices.
Yeah, it really bothered me. It really bothered me because I'm a Muppet guy and
punted.
Do the voices right, please. Mm. Please.
Well, you know, in fairness to all those guys, I do a Kermit impression, but you know what? It's still an impression. And the originals, like Mel Blanc, Looney Tunes couldn't do it, you know?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Sylvester the Cat, I don't know if you ever saw the one where Sylvester's taken by the little girl who just abuses the hell out of him.
Abuses him and loves him.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, my. Anytime where they're trying to get away, it reminds me of Winslow.
And, Mike, you know, one of the great Muppet voices of all time, Frank Oz, was also the voice of Yoda. And so I actually happened on this. There was an amazing Star Wars merchandise auction. I don't have any Star Wars toys that I kept. I kept a lot of stuff. I don't have any Star Wars stuff. The stuff is amazingly collectible.
An extremely rare Star Wars action figure has gone up for auction and is expected to sell for more than $225,000. Apparently, it's an intricately sculpted figure of a female audience member.
I like the mysticism. Answer me these questions three.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.